while they're here. Of what, here's all the papal encyclicals, by the way. What Pope John the 23rd said, one must never confuse error and the person who errs. Not even when there is question of error or inadequate knowledge of truth in the moral or religious field. The person who errs is always and above all a human being. And he retains in every case his dignity as a human person. And he must always be regarded and treated in accordance with that lofty dignity. But he's in error. If you're not in the Catholic Church, you're in error. The depository of truth is in them. Now, you can have dignity of a person. The Inquisition gave dignity to persons. It sought to save their soul just before the rack. Now, they don't use the rack anymore. And Channel 7 picked as a person of the week someone that they said, Father McNulty, who epitomized gentle persuasion. And he did. But there wasn't any critical word about why there's so much posturing to a church that needs to be persuaded on these basic human rights issues. We're not dealing with someone that's dumb. We're not dealing with an uneducated stoop. We're not dealing with a third-grade product evangelist. We're dealing with a man who can deliver his message in English, Spanish, and Creole French. Not just ordinary French, Creole French. An academician of the nth degree, to whom the President of the United States goes to seek advice as they walk in the garden together. Why should they need gentle persuasion on basic human rights? And why make the person of the week a man who gently persuades? Why not make Hans Kung the courageous theologian of the Catholic Church, who said unless the issue of papal infallibility is faced, the church is going to lose out? He was wrong. Church is getting stronger every day. We are seeing the TV create heroes out of the Catholic Church after months of intimidating all Protestants. And they don't have to work too hard to find intimidation products. When the man who would be the Protestant Pope, the week the Pope arrives, God gets him wet. Jerry Falwell's all wet of his own choosing, sliding down a water slide. I mean, there is nothing. He called Jim Baker a circus. There's nothing Jim Baker ever did to demean the gospel to the degree of Jerry Falwell sliding down a water slide fully clothed. He looked like Charlie Atlas. I'd make you bet he'd have gone in a bikini. I'd stay fully clothed too. To get people to give $1,000, didn't bring a lot of glory to God? A buffoon sliding down a water slide, fully clothed. An intelligent man, take his clothes off. And he's a real buffoon. He's ashamed of the way he looks. Buy a water suit. What do they call those things? Wetsuit. If that clings too tight, get a space suit. Deep sea diver. We are seeing the news media do just what I said. I'm not against the Pope. I think he's probably the best representative the Catholic Church has had in years. I think he's sincere in his beliefs. that he is the vicar of truth, and when they get done protesting, gentle or otherwise, he's going to say, when they tell you what a great theologian these are, and I've listened, but I'm still a pope. And when it's all done, the Catholic Church will have conquered the mind of America with a non-stop brainwashing by the media. I don't want them to attack the Pope. I just like them to stay off the case of the Protestants and the rest of us that have another way of expressing our faith. I applaud the Catholics' right to do what they're doing. I sympathize with the disappointment of those in Miami that didn't get to hear his speech because God rained on the Pope's parade. But this city of the angels, the largest Catholic parish in America, needs a message place that for 70 years has proclaimed God's word supreme, to which even popes must bow. Now, if my offer is accepted, the Pope can conduct a mass. The Catholics can go have their service. Just make room for me to proclaim the unsearchable riches of God's word, from which comes faith, which I, with equal fervor, believe alone can save. Catholic Church believes it alone can save. I don't think it can. I don't think it can save anything. But I believe God will save Catholics without them changing to my church for their faith. My objection with the Catholics and my objection with the news media is they will not accept the fact that God will save us for our faith. But you know he will, and I know he will, and I'd like to see a little of it on telephone tonight. So get on that telephone as the music plays. 7001. That will stand up and be counted for faith tonight. Come on.
Take my heart to a silent place.
San Antonio, Texas, watching on a dish. This is one Catholic that believes what you're saying is right. I like the Catholic folks. And I believe that there'll be a lot of them in heaven. I'm not objecting to the outpouring that the Catholics are giving their Pope. I keep saying it, I'm objecting to the unfairness of the news media, who applauds and respects and never demeans this outpouring of Catholic devotion, bordering on idol worship for their leader, their simple belief in miracles. $300,000 was spent on that tower that collapsed in the wind in San Antonio. And the same news program that showed it collapsing without even making a connection showed the barrios of the Latin Catholics in San Antonio and their poverty and applauded them because the visit of the Pope there was more meaningful to them than any other place because he would conduct the Mass in Spanish. Not one word about did any of these poor poverty-stricken people give of their meager substance to build a $300,000 tower. I don't know whether they did or didn't. If they didn't for that, they did for other things. But there's no question being asked by the news media. $300,000 spent on a tower that collapses, made of steel. I mean, one has to wonder, did OSHA examine such a structure? And what if there's a thunder and lightning with that steel tower there? I'm not objecting to anything other than the lack of even-handedness on the part of the media, who, if Protestants were acting this way, would be on our case trying to punch holes in everything we do. I don't want them punching holes in what the Catholics do. About time somebody's allowed to express their faith without interference in this country. I'll fight for their right to do it. And if the Pope is Christ's vicar on earth, there is no expense too great for what they're doing. I find the speeches he's making about materialism and the intention before the thunderstorm shut him up to put down America for being materialistic and not spending its riches on the poor a bit hollow as I remember what I saw in the Vatican the times I went through it, and the failure to do what the predecessor of John Paul II intended to do, which was shut down the Vatican Bank and get it out of banking. And I find Mahoney's arguments for bowing to pressure and agreeing that the homeless at the mission downtown here in Los Angeles should be moved away for security reasons, because it's next door to the church that's going to be declared a foreign embassy where the Pope stays. He's going to be in the Coliseum and Dodger Stadium with hundreds of thousands of people and no Pope Mobile, and that seems to me to be a much greater risk than the 30 or 40 or 100 or 200 homeless people that are going to be thrown out of the mission because he comes to town. I mean, don't give me speeches about not being materialistic. When I look at the comfort he flies with, I mean, he's got enough staff. I understand that he shouldn't be asked to paddle a canoe across the Atlantic, but he could fly a 707 with ordinary seats. Don't need executive style remodeling. I think he does. I'm just playing a role. I think he does. I think he's entitled to have a stateroom on board the airplane and service at his fingertips. I think it's wonderful that Mercedes-Benz have built him a Pope Mobile. I mean, you don't really need a Mercedes to go down the streets with. Why not a Fiat? I mean, you can put a bulletproof platform on a Fiat. And how about a Ford? So we can identify with ordinary Americans in poverty. So it can be recalled. That way, ride in it, get it recalled, and don't have to pay anything. These are objections like the objections the news media would give if it were a Protestant leader. I don't care if they weigh the Pope in every town that he goes to, and the poor in that town who believe in the Catholic faith give him his weight in diamonds, platinum, or gold. That ought to be their right, and they shouldn't be intimidated by those who don't share their faith and belittled because they do it. Because hidden behind the vain smile of some of these newscasters are not just a few who spend some of their high-powered salary to get some little white powder to snort. Granadan habits of always eating at In-N-Out burger stands. I don't believe it's anybody's business how much the Catholics outpour their devotion on the one that represents Christ to them. I'm just crying out for we Protestants to be given the same non-interference freedom in our worship. And I have been saying it to you for months. You're letting the devil and Antichrist win by being intimidated by the news media in your giving. And there has yet to be raised a single voice querying the Pope. I mean, this United States sent its official representatives to the Vatican to ask the searching questions recorded in the book, The Vatican Connection, which, by the way, somebody called tonight and said that a bookstore in Berkeley said some person had bought up all the books from the publisher and the copyright and took it off the market. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard. I know it's pretty hard to find the book. I know I got a lot of copies of it. For sale, all but one, at astronomical prices. The President of the United States, at taxpayers' expense, knows our law enforcement agents flew to the Vatican to ask questions and were thwarted in their attempt. This Pope comes to lecture the United States on our materialism and failure to take care of the poor properly. Methinks if my president in position is going to fly to Miami in a private conference with the Pope, he can ask, what about that $900 million in stolen bonds and securities that our federal officers were asking you about? And is all that gold in the Vatican necessary, or, you know, it's way up there. Like they said in one magazine article about Bob Shuler, you know, way up high in the glass, they didn't have real crystal. At a distance, you can use cellophane. Now, we protest what's going on in South Africa by divesting at great loss to some educational institutions and trust funds. Maybe the Catholic Church would like to divest itself of all of its American investments, stocks, bonds, and otherwise, as a protest against our materialism. Or refuse to take dividends. I don't want them to do that. I really don't. I think they're smart. I think every church ought to be as smart as the Catholic Church. I'm just saying, I can sit here and think up questions that will embarrass the Vatican more than any question they can embarrass us with. But the liberal press, on all points except the Catholic Church, will make heroes of the Catholic Church and its spokespeople. Every time I have ever been invited at any time as a religious voice to any program in America, and I once asked one of the directors of one of the most important shows in America, who's a good friend, concerning this, he says, always check and see who the other guest is. They will always have a counter voice. They worship the God of two sides. He didn't say that. I've said that. Even on Channel 7, when the commentators Tunney and Hershenson get out there, they oppose each other. All week long, I have seen the Catholic Church singularly represented. I mean, fairness says even old Madeline Murray ought to have a chance to get up there and counterbalance the priests that we're seeing on TV. You don't see John R. Rice, and I don't like him. I never have. But I got, I don't mean John R. Rice, I mean Bob Jones. I don't like him. Don't like his racial policies at his school. But I think fairness would say he ought to have a chance to get on a program, sit right there at the same table with the priest. That's the way they do it when a Protestant preacher's called. I've never been invited, that's why I never go to a program, never been invited to a program that they haven't tried to find someone polarized to me that'll be sitting there so they can get us in a debate like Jesse Jackson and Jerry Falwell. You won't see that much this week. The Catholics will be given free, unlimited opportunity to present their position, and the only oppositions that will be shown will be those within the Catholic Church who, after they, as the person of the week, state their objections gently, walk euphorically for a week because the Pope hugs them after they've had the chance to make him listen to, just at least hear our heartbeat with a plea for some changes. As he then runs to kiss the Pope, gentle persuasion. The very same news media people crying out for gentle persuasion would be on the rack for their views if a not-so-gentle man named Martin Luther had not nailed a 95 thesis proclamation to a wall in Wittenberg. And the Catholics know that they would have been wiped out by the Reformation if a not-so-gentle man named Ignatius Loyola had not started the Counter-Reformation with the stormtroopers of Catholicism, the Jesuits. You are being brainwashed by pea-brain news media who want their agenda. And that agenda includes the doing away with the Protestant voices in America and the elevating of the Catholic Church without any attempt at fairness. And that's what I'm complaining about. Not that the Catholics do their thing, more power to them. I say to Christians, if you're going to be a Christian, be one. I say to Catholics, you're going to be a Catholic, be one. I say to a Jew, you're going to be a Jew, be one. I don't like lip service religion. My complaint that I will not stay silent on, and I'm full of fury, and I don't intend to be gentle about it, is the news media have abrogated their position of journalistic fairness. They are not concerned with any need of the public to know. They're on an orgy of rating games at the expense of the American Constitution and for the vile purpose of destroying Protestant freedom in America. And people that have sense and courage better stand up and be counted and say, I'll be one of the 7,000. I'll get on the telephone as the music plays. Don't give me phones on the hook.
So what's the line?
looking for 7,000. Will you be one of them? Get on the telephone.
Be. And the beat's alive.
Now, I've been complaining a lot this week about what is a general unfairness of the media and their constant attacks on Protestant church leaders, TV evangelists, and the way they have presented the Pope and all Catholic activity in a favorable light. I think they should continue to present the Pope and Catholic activity in a favorable light. I never expect them to present Protestantism in a favorable light. I would hope they would quit attacking and intimidating Protestants and members of other faiths who are equally sincere in their expression, but I don't really think that'll even happen. But at least this one voice can keep turning on the light and hone your perceptions to recognize the brainwashing job that's being done, which makes hollow the claims of objectivity, the claims of the public's right to know. You say, well, aren't they telling us all about the Catholic Church? Well, how about In God's Name? An investigation into the murder of Pope John Paul I, David Yalop. I've read this several times, the opening remarks. The spiritual leader of nearly one-fifth of the world's population, Albino Luciani, John Paul I, the immediate predecessor of the current Pope, and you may sit down, folks. On September 28, 1978, had been Pope for 33 days. In a little more than a month, he had initiated various courses of action, which, if followed, would make the present Pope's speeches about caring for the poor and not pursuing materialism statements of honest substance. He would have shut down the Vatican Bank. He would have fired Paul Marcinkus. He would have fired the Secretary of State. He had written the papers on the night of September 28th. He would have fired Cardinal John Cody, subsequently dead himself, in Chicago. And there were several people that had reason to fear the investigation he was going to launch into the financial activities of the Catholic Church, including a banker, Roberto Calvi, in Buenos Aires, a Sicilian banker in New York, Michele Sindona. But one very interesting is a certain Leopold Ledel. You read on in this book, you'll find an interesting report that on April 25th, 1973, and one wonders if President Reagan is aware of this as he flies to Miami to meet this Pope who has not followed up on any of this. Some unusual guests were received in the offices of the Secretariat of State in Vatican City. William Lynch, chief of the Organized Crime and Racketeering Section of the U.S. Department of Justice, and William Aaron Wald, assistant chief of the strike force in the Southern District of New York, with two members of the FBI accompanying them. Having met these gentlemen from the United States, Benelli of the Secretary of State's office said, I made my apologies and left them in the capable hands of three of my staff, Monsignors Edward Martinez, Carl Rauber, and Justin Regali. They listened while William Lynch told of a police investigation that had begun in the world of the New York Mafia and had led inexorably to the Vatican. He told the priests that a package of $14.5 million of American counterfeit bonds had been carefully and painstakingly created by a network of members of the Mafia in the United States. The package had been delivered to Rome in July 1971, and there was substantial evidence to establish that the ultimate destination of those bonds was the Vatican Bank. Lynch, chief of the organized crime and racketeering section of the U.S. Department of Justice, advised these three Monsignors of the staff of the Secretary of State of Vatican City that much of the evidence